Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Devin.
Devin says, greetings, gentleman. gentlemen, plural there. I'm scanning down, by the way, and I'm seeing just a wild amount of autocorrect is happening here in this Google Doc.
Yep.
On Devin's email. And I want to encourage you, Devin, to start taking your time. It's like practice for your future law career or emails to admissions folk and just the whole rest of your life. Edit your shit. Use a simple spell check because there's so many errors here that it's just little cringe, as the kids would say. I'm a big fan of the show, and I'm hoping you could shed some light on what I think to be a unique set of circumstances I find myself in. I'm curious what your take on it will be. And that's I'm without an apostrophe, which is just like, you know, okay, whatever. You wrote it from your phone, I guess. But I don't know. Even your phone would autocorrect that, wouldn't it?
You'd hope.
I'm a 34-year-old aspiring law student working my tail off right now to score into the 170s on the LSAT this summer or fall. I feel confident about my chances as I'm already scoring regularly in the mid-160s on practice tests and have several months before applications open. Here's my predicament, which the word is predicament. So we've got the red underline. It's just like a lot. Okay. Anyway, 16 years ago, I was a prominent student athlete whose, that's W-H-O apostrophe S, which is wrong. It needs to be whose, H-O-S-E. I'm going to stop calling out all of these errors, but it does make it hard to read. I was a prominent student athlete whose focus was to make it to the big leagues in Major League Baseball. I signed a scholarship with the top baseball school in the country and came into my freshman year with zero understanding of how college worked. My parents and siblings never went to college. I did very poorly in my academics, with my freshman year landing me on academic probation even. My focus was not on school. It was totally on baseball. I didn't care one bit for school other than it being a nuisance I was required to do to play baseball. This is the obvious program with high-level competitive college athletics. It really is a tragedy that there are so many schools that are sports first. You know, they talk about student athletes all the time, but that's such bullshit. If you're at the number one baseball school in the country.
Yeah,
it's all probably. Baseball. Yeah. I mean, everybody there is just trying to make it to the pros. That's certainly the case with college basketball. You know, they play 1 year and then immediately go to the NBA. I think football requires people to stay in school for all 4 years, but then that's notorious for giving people completely worthless degrees.
Yeah.
This sucks, man. They did you a big disservice when you were a kid. It would have been so much better for you to just go straight into minor league baseball instead of wasting college credits, you know, accumulating a bad record of grades in college when you weren't paying any attention to it whatsoever. They should be ashamed of themselves, really.
Yeah.
Long story short, I was drafted in the 6th round, 199th overall, and spent the next few years in the pros. Our editor says, I looked him up. Thanks, Eric. Looked him up. Looks like he played 2 years of A-ball. So professional baseball, which is a really, really hard life. You get paid nothing and you ride like 12-hour bus rides to go to Modesto to play a game, you know? I was just...
Yeah.
It's like insane. And they pay the people like below minimum wage, essentially. No benefits. Yeah. They end up living with like families in the community, you know, sharing rooms with other dudes on their team. It's really a miserable life.
They're being paid with hope, right?
Exactly. Yeah. This is what it takes to if you want to make it in the bigs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fast forward a few years after my baseball career was over, I gave school another shot. I signed up for classes, but never went. Between the ages of 24 and 29, a big change came over me. I changed my life and went on a 2-year church service mission and immediately went back to college upon returning. This time around, I did excellent in school with about a 3.8 GPA with high hopes of attending law school. I applied for an academic renewal upon returning to university, thinking it would wipe my GPA and law schools would not be able to see those grades. That's not how it works, unfortunately. LSAC does not honor academic renewal programs. These schools, again, it's another thing for schools to be ashamed of. They have these academic renewal programs that, you know, it's like on their transcript, it'll show that you did well. But if graduate schools are not going to honor that academic renewal, then really they're selling you a lie. I'm feeling bad for Devin. Here's my question. Given my story, how do you think law school admissions will look at my application being a splitter with a low GPA, since they can see the prior grades and will add all of them up? Yeah, they will average all those old grades. So the academic renewal doesn't do anything for you. And a high LSAT, hopefully being in the 175 range. Yes, you're applying as a strong splitter. Can I tell this story in an addendum and will they look at it with understanding? Or is all their cares in high GPA and high LSAT? Will my time at a prestigious collegiate baseball school and time playing professional baseball look good on applications enough to explain my story and still get into a top law school if I perform well on the LSAT? Those are just a few questions I have. I appreciate your consideration. Devin, what do you want to say, Ben, to Devin?
Well, I don't know what Devin's GPA is, but we talked about this a little bit on the previous episode of the Thinking LSAT podcast about trying to appeal this process as much as possible, dig into the policies for the grades, see if you can get any of this fixed some other way. If you still can't, I put a 2.5, again, just a guess, GPA into the scholarship estimator at lsatdemon.com/scholarships. I put in a 175, again, a guess, and nothing is free until you get to, any guess what school?
The first free school on the list?
Yep.
Is it one that we've talked about a lot?
Oh, yeah. They're out there trying to get, they're playing this game.
Is it Penn State Dickinson?
Oh, that is on the list, but it's not the first one. The first one is a little bit higher. Penn State Dickinson is a full tuition scholarship with, by the way, fees of only $200. Okay. So that's on the low end. That's ranked 58. The next one up for free, based on the estimator, which could be wrong, is Arizona.
There you go. And you can also go watch plenty of spring training games while you're there. That'd be good for you. Or it would be like traumatizing, as the case may be. Yeah, Devin, it's basically going to boil down to your LSAT and your GPA. Every law school is going to tell you a different story, but their public data tells the real story, which is that they make admissions decisions based on LSAT and GPA. Is your story going to matter? If you have the high LSAT, then they're going to be interested in you. And so, yeah, you could go ahead and, you know, what are you going to say, Ben, in an addendum?
Oh, wait. So is Devin in school right now? This time around, I did excellent in school with about a 3.8 GPA. I mean, focus on that.
Sounds done. I was assuming that Devin is done with undergrad or is about to be done with undergrad. So focus on the fact that you just successfully completed this thing and talk about that 3.8.
Yeah. So law schools are, of course, concerned about the numbers that are going to appear on the 509. But they are also concerned about how well you're likely to do at their institution. They don't want you to come there and then fail out after a year. So telling them in an addendum that you have a 3.8 will at least address that concern. And look, a 3.8 is nothing to be ashamed of. So they might see you as a diamond in the rough. They might say, hey, market value low because of a low GPA, but we know this person is actually probably going to do better once they're here. So as long as you have the LSAT to make us happy with you, at least in that regard, then you should be, maybe you'll do better than what the estimator is saying.
Yeah. The high LSATs here are going to be the price of admission, right? They're just not going to pay any attention to you at all if you don't show up with a real high LSAT. If you have a real high LSAT, then they're going to be like, okay, this person would raise our LSAT profile while diminishing our GPA profile. So good on the one hand, bad on the other hand. And then they might start looking at the rest of your application. If you can give them the impression that you wasted your teens and 20s on baseball, or maybe not even wasted, just
pursued it.
And I was in school focusing. I was relentless. Like, the way for me to get to pro baseball was college baseball. And so this is what I did. And I, you know, I'm not proud of it, but I was pursuing this goal of baseball. It didn't really work. And then recently I went back to school because I've done really well since I went back to school. The thing I might leave out is a change came over me and the 2-year church service mission. I probably wouldn't emphasize that because it kind of muddies the waters. And then I feel like they might start getting this false impression that they're getting like a holy roller type of person.
Yeah. I think your angle is right. It's not a lot. It's not excuses. It was a mistake not to focus on your academics, but you just make it sound like you're goal driven. Like, I was focusing on baseball.
Here, that's the
wrongly
rare,
or not.
It's the rare situation where I might even bring in high school, right? Because if you played at the literally best college baseball program, then you were recruited, you know, when you were a sophomore, junior, certainly senior. And so you were in your teens. I mean, you were an impressionable kid, and some fucking coach was selling you on dreams of you're going to be in the pros and you just got to come to Arizona State or whatever the baseball school is that you went to. And, you know, I think that you could get some sympathy there where people are like, oh man, yeah, this person, you know, and it's kind of cool that you actually played professional baseball for a while.
Yeah.
The thing I would leave out is your age 24 to 29, where you were no longer playing baseball. I just wouldn't even say that.
No, instead, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You changed. And the change is demonstrated in the fact that you have a 3.8 and now you get a killer LSAT score. It's like, hey, I was focused on sports. I crushed it there. I didn't get to the big leagues, but I did go pretty far. Now I'm turning my focus to academics and I'm crushing it now. What do you want? What else can you ask from me?
Yeah. Hope that was helpful, Devin. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.